Okay, we're in 2 Peter. Yeah, let me find it here. 2 Peter, there were twins, 1 and 2 Peter. And we're at 2 Peter. All right. Which says, 2 Peter, everybody with me? Cool. Very good. 2 Peter. Simon Peter. What's he say? Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, or through the redemption that we even heard about this morning that Melody was talking about, the redemption of the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, as all of these letters begin in some fashion like this, sometimes we can run right over them. We're not going to do that this morning, and fail to see that there's something more going on here than just the salutation, as we say, you know, as we say, dear so-and-so, hope you're feeling well, how are you, blah, 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 blah. There's something more going on here that's richer and deeper than all that kind of stuff, that something is being said to us here in this opening. And he continues and he says, his divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Aren't you glad it doesn't say by your own glory and your own goodness? We're in trouble if it said that. But not, it's not. And then it says, through his glory and goodness, through that knowledge, through that divine power, has been given to us very great and precious promises. So that through them, through these promises that God has given to us, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, so because of all that, because of his divine power, because of those precious promises, because of what we have been given as a destiny, that image of God, he says, for this very reason, make every effort, you got some homework to do, to add to your faith. Now, It's almost like he's saying, you know, faith isn't enough here. You got to supplement your faith. There's things that complement our faith, and those things are, as he lists them here, several things. He begins by saying goodness. And to goodness, knowledge; to knowledge, self-control; to self-control, perseverance, or the word we all love, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. Then listen what he says. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be a fruitful Christian. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never what? You will never what? You'll never fall. For if you do these things, you will never fall. You'll never stumble. You'll never fail. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in Mark chapter 3, we have one of the lists of Jesus' disciples when he calls them. And the list reads like this, Mark 3:16. These are the 12 that Jesus appointed as his 12 apostles, 12 initial followers, 12 leaders. This is Jesus' leadership team. In the first he mentions is who? Simon. And then there's little parentheses. And it says, this is Mark 3:16, it says, to whom he gave the name Peter. Simon, and he gives him a nickname, Peter. Peter. Now, let's pray for a moment. Father, as we have just read this word, I pray that something of this word will captivate our attention to change our very lives. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Now, one of the first things that I do when I read a book, I pick up a book for the first time, is I find out about the author. And, you know, I'll go to the back cover or the frontispiece someplace, they'll have information about the author. And usually it's pretty bland, the information that's given, pretty factual. And oftentimes I'll go to Google, right? And I'll Google the author. And I like to know who it is that wrote the book that I'm about to read. And I'll get information about this guy. And so as we begin looking at 2 Peter, which I want to take a few weeks to do, to look into this letter, it begins by the author identifying himself as Simon Peter. Simon Peter. And so we know a lot about this guy, Simon Peter. As we read through the Gospels, a lot is said about him. Now, this is his second book, as I said. As you turn back the pages a little bit, you see that he wrote 1 Peter. And in the first epistle, as you read through it, you get a sense that these Christians are undergoing some hardships for being Christians. They're being persecuted. And so in his first letter, he's writing some things to beef up their faith, as it were, to help them endure the persecution that they were facing. Now, when we come here to the second book, a little bit different situation is going on, to where you get this idea, whereas in the first book he wrote to them because they had problems from outside of themselves that were attacking them. Here, in this second epistle, you get the idea that, boy, you know, there are some internal problems going on. And he has, and Peter has to address them. And in particular, he identifies himself here differently than he identifies himself in the first book. And I think it's significant that he identifies himself here as Simon Peter. Simon Peter. Now, we first meet him, as I said, when Jesus called his initial first followers. And we are told that Jesus immediately changes Simon's name to Peter. I like what one commentator says. He says this. He says, Simon's nickname, the Rock, Peter, y'all know that Peter means the rock, right? Was given him by Jesus. Now, this commentator asks this question. He says, why in the world would Jesus have given Simon the nickname Rock? So why? He says, it's not clear. He says, since Peter is depicted in the gospel narrative as anything but a rock. Jesus, he says, if that's you, let me walk to you on the water. And so he gets out of the boat and begins to walk, and what does he do? He sinks. He goes under, and Jesus saves him, of course, but says to him what? Oh, you of little faith. That's not being a rock, is it? Well, he sank like one, that's for darn sure, right? But it's not the metaphor of a rock. Right? He wasn't coming through. And he says, why Jesus gave him that name is not clear, because he's depicted as anything but. He says, but then he says this. He says, perhaps Jesus saw in Peter, unreliable and fickle though he was, the potential for being firm and confident. The potential for being firm and confident. When you think about Peter, of course, immediately what comes to mind is what? That he denied Jesus three times, right? When we think of him in the Gospels, that's how we see him. And other stories like him walking on the water. But it wasn't the only time that Peter messed up. He messed up a few times. And we see how this back and forth goes. And of course, the biggie was when Peter said three times, "I don't know who you're talking about," and denied Jesus. And what was it about Peter that yet, or Simon, we should say, that Jesus gave him the name Peter? And I want to talk about that for a few minutes. And I want to just, oh boy, I want to read something to you that, that a German novelist and playwright philosopher said. He said, "If you treat an individual as he is, he will remain how he is. But if you treat him as if he were what he ought to be and could be, he will become what he ought to be and could be." I think something of that was going on with Jesus and Simon that he renamed Peter. Yeah, Peter put his foot in his mouth. Yeah, Peter was up and down. But oh, Jesus saw what Peter was going to be and treated him like that. And so he gave him the name from Simon to Peter, the rock. Now, our author in this book, Simon Peter, identifies himself, how? He says, "a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ." But we must be careful not to allow those designations to obscure how he functions in both of those roles. That is to say, as a servant of Jesus and as an apostle of Jesus, Simon Peter is functioning as a pastor. And we get that from the exchange that happened, remember, between Peter and Jesus after Jesus' resurrection. And three times Peter denied Jesus. And when Peter was with Jesus and he was talking with him, Jesus said to him, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord." He says, "I love you." He said, "Then pastor my people." And he says that in three times in John chapter 21. And so we see this pastoral heart. And I bring that out because as we read not only this letter, but in particular 2 Peter, we see his pastoral interest in helping his people, in helping them in particular. I like what Peterson says about the pastor. He says, "The pastor is that person in the community, the church community, who has been charged with the responsibility for helping men and women live the faith." Live the what? The faith. Notice that Peter talks about immediately, the faith is precious as ours that we have received. And then he says to that, for them to what? Complement their faith by adding to it. This is what pastors do. They help men and women to live the faith. But not to be silly about it or mystical about it or weird about it, which happens also often among us, you know? But he says, pastors are those people who help men and women live the faith sanely and truly in the immediate circumstances in which they find themselves, you know? Whatever our immediate circumstances are in life, the conditions in which we live, whatever they are, this faith is there and can thrive. And so Pastor Simon Peter knew well what he was talking about and equally well how to strengthen their faith for the situations that they faced in their lives. How do I know that? How do I know that he knew? And he could go so far as to say, look at here, at verse 10. He says to them, "For if you do these things, you will never what? You will never what? You'll never fall." Now, Simon Peter is a prime example for that our failures, how it is that our failures have the full potential to work for our good. If anybody knew about failure, it was Simon Peter. And I think that he identifies himself as Simon Peter, to say to us, look what I was, and now look what I have become. Look what I was, and look at what Jesus saw in me the potential that he saw in me and look at what he's done with that potential in my life. And if you do these things, you too will never fail.
Wow.
And so he addresses himself as Simon Peter to say that to us. He's a prime example that our failures have the full potential to work for our good, to bring us to what God has always intended us to be. So that when I look at Peter, and you go through the Gospels, on one occasion when Jesus was speaking to his disciples and talking about the redemption that he was about to make, Peter pulls Jesus aside and he says to Jesus, "Lord, no, don't go to the cross. How can this be?" You know, thinking that he's helping Jesus out. You know, and Jesus looks at Peter and rebukes him. He rebukes the devil in Peter. Peter wasn't speaking for God; he was speaking for the devil. Can you imagine? And so this guy, I mean, he was a rough character, this guy. And yet Jesus saw something in him. Jesus was treating him, not how he saw him to be at the moment, but what he knew he was destined to become, what God had always intended him to be. And that's how he treated him. It isn't just how he saw him, but it's how Jesus treated him as well. On another occasion, before Peter actually denied Jesus, Jesus says, Peter, he pulls him aside, he says, "Peter, I got a word for you." You know, wow, ooh, how wonderful this is going to be. Jesus, lay it on me. Give me the word. And he says to Peter, he says, "Satan has desired to have you." Can you imagine receiving a word like that? You know, yeah, I'm open for prophetic words. Lay it on me. "Satan has desired to have you." And then Jesus says to him, he says, "But Peter, don't worry, for I have prayed for you." And he says, "I've prayed for you that your faith does not fail." Now, did Peter still mess up? Did he mess up? See? Jesus' prayer, there was something bigger, something more that was going on in Peter. So that the idea is that something Peter shows us how it is that our failures work success in our lives. Peter had to fail. Peter had to fail in that situation. And having failed in that situation, he really didn't fail, because what did Jesus say to him? He said in Luke chapter 22, he says, "Peter, after you have come through this, he says, strengthen your brothers." He says, use what I have done in your life. Use what I'm doing in your life. Convert that into giving to other people. And that's what Peter is doing here for us right now. And so by his example, we learn a few things I just want to mention too. Here's the first one. Peter's example instructs us that there is a power available to turn our failures into successes. That's the first thing we learn by his example. And so when he says here, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, Peter knew about that power. He had failed. You know, the water took him under. But at the same time that the water took him under, he also knew the strength of Jesus' hand that reached down and lifted him up. And so it is with us. So it is with us. He instructs us that there is a power available to turn our failures into successes. And then the second thing his example teaches us is this. His example inspires my faith. And it inspires my faith to participate in the process. How so? Even as he says here, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith." So that there's work to be done on my part. There's a work that I have to do if I'm going to be able to see that my faith is able to survive the kind of failures that are about to come my way. on intention by the Lord to bring me to the kind of success that he has destined for me. Peter's example inspires my faith to participate in the process. Who better to speak to us about these things than Simon Peter? Who better? He teaches us that our failures are not the end, but are just something that God is using in our lives to bring us to what he's always intended for us to be. Amen. Let's stand together. I don't know if you've felt like a failure at times. I have. Or if you've ever been in that place where you think that you can never recover, maybe from this in this area or that area because of a particular failure. But might it be that God is just working something there in your life? Might it be that God is just working something there in your life? Yeah. So let's pray. So Lord, here we are in your presence. We thank you for Simon Peter and how it is that you took him and made him. You made him out of the raw materials of his own failures into what you called him to be, and how it is that you do that in our lives. I want to thank you for that. So this morning, Lord, we yield ourselves to you, and we thank you for your grace at work in our lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I pray you speak to us, that you touch us right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord. We pray in Christ's name, amen. God bless you.